ahead, JB. Start us.
Welcome, everyone, to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. You can join us. You're joining us today on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. You can get our podcast wherever you get your pods. Remember to text us at 590-590. And I'm welcoming you in as Kippy finds his stuff, gets it together. He's ready to rock and roll
now. Nice.
Kippy, how was your weekend?
Nice. Well, listen, you're at the driving range today, which can only mean one thing. We are deep into the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, we're into spring anyway. Let's put it that way.
We are glad everybody's aboard. Wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening on Sportsnet, on all our platforms, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. And download us when you can't catch us live. Because we've got a lot to say starting right now.
The
Kiprios, ooh. Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, David Sisboomba. Like the Leafs, Sisboomba.
Hi, fellas. How's everyone? Sammy, how are you?
Good.
Yeah. How was your weekend, Sammy?
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. All good.
All good?
All good.
Hey, have you ever seen Sammy so quiet in a group chat as this weekend? You literally said, are you alive?
I know. I did. I is that just the nerves, Sammy, going into game one?
Focus?
Yeah, mostly. Like, I it's the playoff games I like to lock in a little bit more. Yeah. You know, during the regular season, much more phone time.
Yeah.
You know, in the last week of the season, a few more TikToks consumed while you're watching the Leafs game. It's yeah. not as much as you're locked in.
Right.
But when that puck dropped on Saturday night, you know, my heart is racing. I'm back into it. I'm Sammy, you know, Johnny Leaf fan all over again. Yeah. Sammy Leaf fan. And yeah, I'm a little more quiet in the group chats. So that's what I'll say.
It's, we're going to, of course, dissect Saturday night. But, yeah. you know, the big elephant in the room right now is Willie Nylander. It is the talk of town on what happened. He's there 1 minute. He's gone the next.
Yeah.
So, is this the conversation we're going to have right off the bat here, guys?
Sure.
I mean, we might as well. Seems to be the lead story.
Yep.
Okay, because when I started getting a message from Sammy going, I'm in all these chats, and it's starting to get a little goofy out there on where is 88?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know you came to me to throw you a lifeline or a...
Well, I just,
you know,
I extended the old, is the saying you extend the olive branch? Is that what it is? How does that go?
That doesn't really work there. That's a peace reach, you know, trying to make up with someone.
But they're like, when our boy Sammy's in a little bit of a panic mode here, it's not good out there because he is, for the most part on our show, what I love about Sammy the most is the vibe that he represents.
He's the barometer.
Is the barometer mm-hmm. for Leaf Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the sense that they're a little panicky right now on Willie.
Yeah. I think, you know, from what I can gather from my mentions on X, what I gather from multiple group chats that I'm in, people are asking a lot of questions about what's happened to William Nylander. Mm-hmm. And I think you'd be stupid to not talk about anything else, but what happened to William Nylander, Kip?
Can we just, like, put it out of your mind and your group chat mind that this was a discipline thing and
yes.
they're sitting him out
Please.
On purpose. Can I just end that right now for
yes.
you?
I would love that.
Okay. That's not the case here.
It got a little Corey Perry and Connor Bedard's family with this whole thing. But you know what I heard? And it's like, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, the right. only reason you're not hearing anything is they're not saying
it can get crazy like that. No, he's hurting.
He's hurting.
He is physically not at a place where he was comfortable to play Saturday night. And he skated today.
Mm-hmm. And Sunday.
Which means whatever bothered him physically is improving.
Yes.
Is it enough to play tonight? I don't get that sense.
No.
He's going to come to the rink. Probably let a lot of people know whether or not he thinks he's okay or not. There's also going to get the medical advice from the Leaf staff.
Yeah.
But like I think they should just plan on him not playing till game three at home.
He skated like with the extras after the skate, which is not great in terms of a forecast. But he did take a couple of rushes in for Robertson. I don't think he'll play. but I wouldn't be shocked if he did. That's where I'm at it. You know, I do feel like there's some gamesmanship going on with some of the lineup stuff because it affects how they build their decor on the other side. So I get why they're being so tight-lipped.
And like, I know there's some out there, like the full-fledged judgment now. How could you? Where are you? What are you doing? We need you most.
Who would do such a thing?
But
who would do
we are so also talking about a guy that
doesn't miss games.
Doesn't miss games.
I know.
He doesn't miss games. And if it's one guy that I would think in the lineup that I would go, he's not overwhelmed by the moment. He's not, this is the most stress-free
guy.
He's not
afraid.
This guy just wants to go out there and have fun.
Yeah. No, I will say I have heard people be like, you know, challenge the chutzpah of the gentleman or whatever phrase you want to learn, use for having the...
I am not going there.
I'm not either. You don't play for 8 straight years and not come up to scary situations and play through it. So, okay.
It's okay. I agree with both of you guys.
Okay.
But I think for people, when you hear the stories of Stanley Cup playoffs past where guys play on broken legs with collapsed lungs with whatever the... When you see a guy skating and joking around and playing, being fine at morning skate and practices, I think for a lot of Leaf fans, that would probably, you know, they'd be like, well, can you get in there?
Oh, listen.
Do they want him to get hurt and not play any games, or do they want him to come back and play?
Judging by how game one went, maybe there aren't going to be that many games for him to play in.
Sammy, you're not wrong, okay? You're not wrong that whether or not that you play and you don't score, or you don't play, or you're not available when the team needs you most, those things always come back to bite you in the ass. And it's whether you think it's fair or not is irrelevant. We know how people are out there with their comments and their snide remarks. Just going to have to live with it until you rise to the occasion. Mm-hmm. That's the only way those things disappear. Mm-hmm. Okay, because it's already started. Pointless in game one. Matthews, Marner, Tavares. Yeah. Pointless. Mm-hmm. You want to start having a reputation for being great regular season players and don't show up in the playoffs? Go pointless in game two.
Yeah.
Whether you're in the lineup or out of the lineup, you are subject to criticism, unfair or not, when you don't produce when it's needed the most.
So you're subject to criticism, and that's fine that a bunch of people in their group chat can be like, you know, what a whatever for not playing. But it's just ignorant to me because it's, you know, so many injuries, and you know this, Kip, so many of them, you're at risk of making them worse and not getting the guy. And so if you want to win a Stanley Cup, you would much rather the guy be ready to go, at least closer to ready to go, even if it's another two days ready to go. So to me, it's like, I bet you Willie could play. I bet you if it's game seven tonight, he's in. You know, but it's, I think they have bigger aspirations than one game and then potentially hurt it and play no games.
Yeah.
So how many games do you want him to play if you're calling Willie?
I will disagree with you in saying that if he could play in game seven, I want him to play in game two.
And I think that's stupid. And I bet you the Leafs are on that side too.
I don't want to go down 2-0. And think I can still win the series.
Well, and that, you know what, though? This may impact their decision-making tonight. You may get him tonight for this very reason, and he may get hurt.
Could you get him for 12 minutes, and he's still one of the best power play guys that you have, right?
For sure.
Can you just put him out on the power play? I don't know.
You could roll whatever dice you want.
I get what you're saying, for sure. Is it a real risk that he gets hurt and you lose him for the series? I don't know where it's at. But for this guy to...
Just a crazy time to guess finish, to me.
Yeah, finish two games in the regular season and then come back. So something happened. Something happened.
Must have been in game
Florida
82 that it happened.
Or Tampa Bay,
for sure,
where he left. He went...
To me, it's got to be back. That's just total speculation. I mean, but, you know, back, something that seizes up or something that you're like, I got hurt. It felt a little funny. You wake up and go, oh, God, it's...
I
can't move.
I do recall one game in when we were in Washington, when I played for the Capitals, I'm in Buffalo. I go to bed. I feel great. I wake up. I can't move my neck. Not even a little bit. And I can't play that night.
Yeah.
And I got to go back. I got to go to Paul Holmgren and Kevin McCarthy saying, I can't play.
And they go, what happened?
And they're like, Rob Ray. you know, start naming me like three tough guys on the Boston lineup or the Buffalo lineup. And they're like, what do you mean you can't play? We look who we're facing tonight. And I'm like, I can't turn my neck just a little bit.
I'm in a halo seized here.
Seized completely up.
Yeah. Like, and these things happen.
And I'm talking to the doctor. I'm like, what's the deal? He says, do you know what you guys go through every game? Every time you get jarred, every time you go shoulder to shoulder, it's your body talking. It's something with your body is saying, you know, no, you hurt yourself. You don't even realize it or know it at the time, but it can come back. Those things can come back. Is that what happened to Willie?
And if it is, how insanely bad is this timing for the Leafs? Like, was it 8 years since he missed a game to injury, and it happens after game 82? Like, come on.
This is the number one argument for why your good players don't play in meaningless games at the end of the season.
Is that well said?
I mean, listen, I guess you had to play him because you already were without Domi, without McMahon. Yeah. But Tampa played with 11. They played with 11 forwards. Yeah. It's like, well, you know, Willie, I guess maybe he wanted to get to 100 points, which is fair. They needed a forward. He played. And then you don't have one of your best forwards for the first two games of the playoffs, potentially, because he's playing this stupid, meaningless game.
The other thing, too, is I'm not 100% sure of this, but if they flew right after the game, if they left Tampa Bay,
that crimped against the
you get on a flight, 3 hours on a plane, go to another different bed, different mattress, and like, I'm still cursing the Buffalo Hilton, by the way, right? I am. I'll never ever stay at the hotel ever again. They ruined my neck.
Yeah,
but those things add up.
Yeah,
and does it take 2 days to get, you know?
Yeah, you can be in the comfiest seat in the world on a charter jet if you're still sleeping.
I don't sense we're talking about a concussion here. He wouldn't be on the ice yesterday and today if he was concussed from Wednesday, right? Tuesday, Wednesday?
How did no internet sleuth, and I'm not talking about myself, go back and pick out something where it could have happened?
I watched some shifts.
Oh, he got jarred. I'm telling you, he got jarred.
Yeah.
I remember him getting jarred in Florida.
Yes.
In Florida.
Okay. So,
like before Tampa?
I remember him getting really hit hard in Florida. And then did he aggravate it in Tampa? Mm-hmm. He finishes the game. Did it seize up on him?
Yeah.
But
we have two.
He's feeling better anyway.
Willie updates, one from yesterday and one from today. I'll let dictate.
Do the first one from clip six from yesterday in Boston, Derek, if we get that.
Has William been able to skate since you guys have been here?
No updates on Willie.
How is he holding up, Sheldon? Like, obviously, I don't know sure how much you've talked to him, but it's got to be pretty tough. You play the whole year and you're out. Just, what's your sense of how he's dealing with this?
No updates on Willie.
Coach is going to keep his mouth shut.
I hate that. I do.
Clearly, it's an upper body.
We're on to Cincinnati.
So what are we left with?
So that was yesterday.
Right.
And do you want to hear what he had to say today?
Oh, God. Be the exact
same. This is from clip 11 from today in Boston, Derek.
Yeah, it's great. To see him with the group, he's looks good out there. And for sure the group's happy to have him. So, you know, we'll see how he feels the rest of the day here and make a decision.
So, I'm with you. We're down to a neck or a back.
Yeah, to me, he's not playing. Like when you have a limited time between hockey games to prepare for the next game. So if you can make the other coaching staff take 15 extra minutes on something else, great. And so if you say you might have to build a plan for if Nylander's in, you just put that on their plate. Yeah, he's ready to go. He looks great. He's on the ice. Whatever. Just put it on their plate and make them think about it. To me, that was like, that didn't sound great.
Mm.
To me, that's just put, he might be in. Deal with that a possibility, too, while you're dealing with everything else.
He's skating. It's close.
He's like 98% sure to play game 3.
Hope so. Because they need
him. If it matters.
All right. So why did
you? Well, if you're down 2-0,
game 3 is going to matter.
Where do you guys want to start? You want to start on a clip or you want to start on your initial thoughts of a 5-1 loss to go down 1-0?
I want to hear from you guys more than I want to hear from Sheldon. I know what he thinks.
Gibby.
All right.
Your name's on the show, pal. Let her in.
Yeah. I'm not as discouraged as what the score says.
Okay.
Okay. I actually like their start.
Yeah. They had a good 4-0 in shots in their end.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I'll start. Let me start with what I told you guys last week before we went Saturday night. Domi versus Marchand.
Yeah. Mm. This was the most prescient thing anyone...
It started before the puck even dropped.
Yeah. He should have been in the box before the game started.
Yeah, that was too much.
He could have been.
And Kip called that this would happen.
But this was like the easiest look-see for me. You saw this from 1,000 miles away. So what happens even before puck drop? Max gives him a couple of shots. Gordy Dwyer, the official, goes to Max, puts his arm around him. Did he address Marchand? No. Did he address Max? Yes. What do you think he said to him?
Hey, stop it. Don't be a dummy.
Just chill out, man.
No, I'll tell you what he said. He said, don't try to make me look bad here. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. To your point, maybe I could have thrown you in the box. Maybe I chose not to. But if this continues, you're gonna force my hand here.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
For sure he did. Definitely okay? That last part. Don't make me do this.
So what's Max do? In about 30 seconds after the puck drops, he breaks his stick on Marchand. He cross-checks him and breaks his stick on Marchand.
Yeah.
Still no penalty.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But now what are you thinking if you're the officials from there and on in?
I can't let you get away with that again. I mean, I have an eye on this. It cannot happen again or I'm the idiot.
And
fool me once, fool me twice, you know, that whole thing.
And, you know, for Max, if I was coaching him, I'd sit there and say, listen, that guy... You're not rattling that guy.
No, and you said this before the series.
He invented a lot of that, you know? Yeah. So go after Zacha. And then if you want to pull Marchand in,
the guy.
Then you lay the breadcrumbs and watch him come like a pigeon.
Yeah.
That's what you do. Mm. But you don't go after him right away because it just sets you up.
But
later.
You know what? This has been a thing when the Leafs add toughness at the deadline. This, like, these guys feel the pressure to be the toughness, whether it's Clifford getting in game one or whether it's Bunting taking runs at Chernak.
Or Ryan Reeves diving deep to set up a 2-on-1 for them to score.
Reeves throwing a hit when he's supposed to be falling behind a pinching D. Like, there is a real trend of being like, oh, I'm the guy who they got for this purpose, and that is my purpose, rather than play the hockey game, finish checks when there's opportunities, which will come, take advantage. So, yes, I agree that was an emotional failing.
And Domi ended up in the box twice, and the one with McAvoy. It was a miracle that they took both.
It was one.
It was a one. Like, he came, and then McAvoy kind of grabbed him a little bit, and they took them both.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe that, and then it boils over, and Gordy Dwyer sends it back. And
clip two on Sheldon Keefe talking about Domi's penalty, please.
You know, careless penalties. You know, Domi's penalty obviously is the one that's I would call it an undisciplined penalty. I understand what he's trying to do, but cross the line there and can't do that. But then just the high sticks and that kind of stuff, like that's just careless stuff that I don't know if that has anything to do with the emotion or anything like that. In terms of the emotion of the game, the competitiveness, the physicality, we had no issue with our game on that end of it.
Sheldon, obviously the power play didn't get a goal, but I'm just wondering.
Yeah. So, a lack of discipline.
Yeah. And for me, like, I'm now so far beyond the Leafs getting run out of the building or the Leafs needing to go shoulder. We're way past that.
Right.
In fact, I'm now thinking tonight.
Dial it in.
Dial it in.
We need to not
back
be
off.
That team. Yeah.
We're still a skilled team here.
Yeah.
Can we not forget that? Like, what got us here is the offense and the high octane at times and the ability to make great plays off a rush. And can we get back to that here?
Yeah.
Stop thinking like you got to run around all over the place. And they did kind of set themselves up to go down early 1-0 because they're hard on the forecheck. And then you've got Joel Edmondson, who's your stay-at-home defenseman, acting like he's not a stay-at-home defenseman, pinching with the fourth line out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people want to, I get it, all right? Reeves, yeah, you should have been the third man. But Joel, Ryan Reeves is out there. No pinching when Ryan Reeves is out there.
I think we're on different pages with that because like, that's the system they play. And it's really tough to be like, but don't play it when he's on the ice, but play it when he's on the ice.
You know? You do that, JB. You do that.
Yeah.
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, if they put the puck in the net, it's a bonus. The fact that they're in there, they're pushing, they're just don't take a chance on these guys getting so horny, as people want to say, that everybody's running around. And And Joel, like, don't pinch. Don't pinch with the fourth line out there. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But, hey, how about that for a hard rule?
Yeah, I got that's fine. That's fine if that's, like, an adjustment you want to make. I you know, to me, Reeves, it's like it's not that complicated. You know, you see a D coming down. You're
even if he's third high, he ain't catching anybody. They're gone.
Just be above them. They're so gone. You don't have to chase them.
But. They're gone. And the other thing, too, is I thought Dewar had a tough – he had some tough shifts, really tough shifts. Even on that play – if you take a look at his, he doesn't seal the wall. He's there, and he wants to go run a guy because, again, everybody's on this, finish your checks, and let's run them over. And his stick is 6 feet up in the air. Mm-hmm. You're not intercepting any pucks. The Leafs had bad sticks Saturday night. It's not anything to do with not being physical. Yeah. They just had bad sticks. They don't take lanes away with their sticks like Boston does.
Yeah, I thought the, you know, the part I agree with most out of that is the, you know, remember that you're an offensive team. You know, I think we've heard a lot about the story now where they've scored two goals or fewer in eight straight playoff games, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it's seven straight. I think it's eight straight.
Going back to game six, they scored two against Tampa to win in overtime. They scored two and five. So that would be the seventh straight game.
Yeah. So seven straight games, two and fewer. Just really struggling to create goals. And I know Swayman played really well. That's a big story from that game.
It is.
On Saturday night is that their goaltender
big
was excellent.
Factor.
Yeah. Makes a nice save early, and obviously Samsonov can't give them the one extra save. I really felt like the game...
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
One more beef on the first goal.
Yeah.
Can I finish?
Of course.
Okay,
right. Of course.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not a 2-on-1. It's 2-on-2.
You have a back checker.
No, you got Samsonov and Liljegren against Beecher and
Boquist.
Boquist. Like, Liljegren, what are you doing?
Yeah, just let the goalie stop.
If I had to do a video on not how to play a 2-on-1, you're leading the example with that play.
Yeah.
How do you end up on your belly?
With no fakes, nothing shown.
And Boquist has got... He's on his offside.
Yeah, sticks inside.
Okay,
yeah.
Just like let Sammy take the shot. That's it. You still got a chance here, but to go on the pass across while you're looking like a fish out of water for an open net for 1-0. Is it me or is it every once in a while I watch the Leaf D go like? Do you guys know how to play a 2-on-1?
They feel like they struggle with 2-on-1s.
Yeah.
Like, it just the conversion rate of other teams on 2-on-1s on the Leafs. I mean, it's probably pretty high across the league. Regardless,
do they tell them to leave their feet?
I don't know. It's just not it's not pretty on the 2-on-1s. But
yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay. No, that's a tough start. So here's the eight games that I was thinking of. I think they haven't scored the first goal against Boston in very, very many games, and that to me is a big story here. I think they haven't led for a minute of a Bruins game this year, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, I'm not mistaken.
It's You're crazy. Correct. It's crazy.
So five You're games, correct. They have not been leading for 1 second. So that to me is a big part of this, is that the Bruins are a responsible team with great goaltending. If you put them in a position where they don't have to open up and they don't have to chase, you're in big trouble. You can't get into that hole. And that's how this game gets away. So you have the one breakdown, fourth line, Edmondson, Samsonov, not your best people on the rink. They get up 1-0, and then the game starts to incrementally get away from you, right? You take a couple of penalties. You don't get a save. Like, you played, they played as well or better than Boston over the course of the 5-on-5 in the game.
Their numbers were good.
Yeah.
And were they not?
It was, but it's still... It just bleeds away because you don't get the first one. So that's going to be such an important part of tonight's game, is finding a way to get that first goal.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is if we're on penalties, too, six minors, like, you're killing your bench. The rhythm.
And the PK's already right? sus at best.
Well, do you want to hear the coach talk about the undisciplined part of it?
Let's do it.
Okay, so I think that's clip number three.
Well, like you said to me, you got one penalty. You know, the Domi penalty is the one that's, you know, that's undisciplined in nature. The others, I just, you know, I think we had two high sticks. That's just carelessness that this time of the year, you just got to be dialed in. Your stick, you can't allow your stick to get up like that. Sometimes it's going to happen. It's happened too much tonight. Even the other one, I can't, the Benoit penalty, like, sticks a little careless there for me early in the game there. The McCabe one, I don't know. You'll probably find 40 of those penalties in the game tonight. That one happened to get called. But like I said, I don't look at it as us being undisciplined or anything, but just a little careless with the sticks. You know, the only one I set aside. So, there's two different things there for us to sort out.
I mean, we're not undisciplined. We're just careless.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same
it
thing.
Just, yeah. It just throws. You can't get in a rhythm here. But you just can't get in a rhythm killing penalties.
I get that the Domi penalty was bad, but is it needed to be called out three separate times in the postgame thing? Like, you know, this team has forever cried out for guys to, like, show some passion in playoff games, and this guy comes out and he's doing it. And
I thought he played well, too.
I did, too.
And he's just his first part of the game, anyway.
There's three separate times in the postgame that you call out a guy for taking a penalty in a game where there are six penalties taken. Like, it's just, we get it. It was a bad penalty. The guy showed some passion in the game. He's in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, now he's going to go out there and he's not going to play like that? Like, I don't know. Just that part of it rubbed me the wrong way, boys.
Yep.
Get the power play going. Just one. An early one would be nice.
Yeah.
Let's go to clip 12, Sheldon Keefe on Bertuzzi on the power play unit.
Well, Bert's good around the net. You know, it gives you a second guy similar to John in the sense that, you know, he can hound the puck and be good around the net and all of that sort of stuff. So that's really it, yeah.
I'm instantly panicking that it's 4:27, our Leafs hours. Like, we have so much to talk about.
Why wasn't he out there? Bert? Why was Yarncroc out there instead of him?
I just think Yarncroc's a shooter and Bert and JT are redundant, typically. Right?
I see that. When I see Yarncroc out three times more than Bertuzzi on a power play. Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's crazy to me.
Mike Seal.
For the record, I agree with you guys. I just think the role you put them crazy. In is redundant. So now he's like, we're just going to put them both out there.
I get Yarncroc's come a long way here, and you really like him a lot, yeah. But he didn't turn into a $5 million player.
No.
Since he's been gone.
No. Going to be interesting to see how that works with both those guys at the net, but I like the idea of having a couple people all over Swayman and being involved in all that. But I wanted to get to, he's talking about Tavares. You know, he can do a lot of things similar to John Tavares. Maybe the most disappointing performance for me in game one was Tavares, not in terms of play driving or physical play or whatever, doing the things he's supposed to do. He is an offensive contributor, is he not? You know, he is
for
the guy
sure.
who's supposed to produce offense.
Absolutely.
Start of the third period, 30 seconds in, he has a breakaway, and I mean a clean breakaway. And he's afraid of getting caught and takes a slap shot from above the circles. To me, it was just like the guy looks like he has no offensive confidence, and if he can't do the offensive things, like, say, putting in the Matthews fake slapper back door with that bottom hand, not hard enough on the stick, there's no value. So I thought that was a tough night for Tavares, who they needed to put some offense on the board in Willie's absence.
And that second line, too, it just, like, him and Marner just didn't seem to have any chemistry, and it feels like he's maybe bringing Marner down a little bit. Like, I don't know what they're doing with that second line. It didn't look good the whole night.
They have no choice now, right?
What's the choice? What are you talking
about? Yeah, just, you gotta go with Tavares. You gotta just hope somehow, some way, you look at the game sheet, and he's got two or three tonight.
You're talking about
goals?
Points, yeah.
Like, but are you saying, like, leave the lines how they are? Are you talking about the lines?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Basically, I am.
Yeah.
There's not much
you
can work with here.
Right. There's no... everyone I've read about how Marner should go back with Matthews, that seems to be, like, the consensus opinion. It just leaves you no lines. Or, sorry, one line. it doesn't lead, like Tavares isn't driving a line with Matthew Nyes. That's, you don't have a second line then. Like in Willie's absence, it gets real thin if Tavares is bad. So I'm not ready to make that change yet for the Leafs. I also feel like, you know, from a tactical perspective, if you're the coach preparing for tonight, there's not much you need to do differently. The players need to play better. Like maybe you make a substitution on D, which we'll get to, but you know, you make a substitution on the power play. I just don't think there's a ton to do differently. I don't think that they were far off a better result.
Mm. What? Yeah. I think at the end of the day, Nyes, I thought, had a rough shift there. He coughed a big pizza hairball up the middle of the ice that led to, I think, the second goal, the Carlo goal.
Yeah. He also turned one over the back checked really well, and then he turned a third one over that he back checked well, and it's like, and stop turning it over.
And then he didn't get many more shifts.
Yeah.
But I thought, like, at the start of the game, he showed a lot of physicality. I thought he was running around a little bit, looked like he was going to be involved, then he kind of went away.
Yeah.
But,
and, you know, we haven't mentioned the big names, Matthews and Marner, yet. We haven't mentioned the decor. Should we do a break, and then we'll...
Well, I think we got a little bit of time here.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, that's the conversation. No points for Matthews and Marner.
Yeah. It gets tough this time of year.
Sure does.
Right? It's, you're not playing non-playoff teams where you can pad stats.
No.
Playing shutdown hockey here. So they're just going to have to find a way.
Sure. Yeah.
But
of course.
Outside of that, what do you say? What do you.
Six straight playoff games without a goal for Austin Matthews.
Yeah. You know, I think you just. At least we need to acknowledge that it was a game that looked very similar where Matthews, 10 shot attempts, 5 shots, you know, he has chances. He rips one off the inside of the post, doesn't go in for him again. And then Marner, I thought, just was non-existent as a factor in terms of like dictating the play.
The other thing too is like, again, he's your number one penalty killer.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know how much rhythm that they actually had.
I agree with that.
You know,
tough game.
He's the only one that, to me, he's the only one that tries to hold on to the puck and make plays. And I didn't see too many times. There was one opportunity, I think, in the first where he cut up the middle in the offensive zone, waited for some traffic, and then you get some pucks to the net. You get some double layers in front of Swayman. To me, that I saw it once or twice, but I just did not see enough.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Swayman earlier in the show, but no traffic. He saw a ton.
Yeah.
And that has to change tonight.
Yeah, Matthews had a great shot that Marner almost got the rebound. Right. Keefe got them out there together, and someone took a penalty on Marner almost at the end of a period. He almost scored there.
Would you start those guys right off the bat?
No,
Matthews and Marner,
But I would look for opportunities to load it up, to get, you know, Mitch only played 20 minutes, and he's a guy who can play 23. So I'd be eager to see him get a few extra shifts with Matthews throughout the course of the game. But to me, Kip, he doesn't go north. Like, he just, you know, like he is the only guy that hangs on to it. But in the playoffs, for me, I see him almost hesitant to get up and get into the play a little bit. A couple times, like, on breakouts, I'll bring it back.
He's never a north-south guy.
He's not. But I agree that he's not. But it feels to me, like, more passive. And less just like, you know, sometimes you got to use your speed a little bit too. He can skate. And it just seems very hesitant to me. I'm not sure what the difference is entirely, but, you know, MacKinnon scores last night. You know, Vancouver's top guys are on the board. There's good players who score. Good players can score when the times get tough. And it's definitely a theme at this point.
Okay, let's take a quick break and catch our breath here.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Sammy, look.
Yeah.
In with the good air.
Good job, guys.
Out with the bad.
Good job.
Try it with
me. Don't worry.
Try it with me. In with the good air.
Everyone thinks you're going to do it.
I'm fine. Listen.
All right.
One game doesn't make a playoff series.
No, it does not.
And I am sensing.
I like him tonight.
I am sensing so much panic in Leafs Nation.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just because of the way it went, boys. Bad special teams. Yeah. Stars not showing up. Getting goalied. Your goalie not making big saves. So I get why you're upset. But one game doesn't make a series.
I also think that going down 1-0,
they're totally screwed.
Yeah, it's screwed. Anyways. But going down 1-0 sets the lens for how that whole game went, and people were unable to see the positives when there were plenty in that game. Just once you're chasing the game, everyone's like, this sucks.
All right. Still more to chew on as we get ready for game 2 tonight. Hockey night in Canada, Toronto and Boston. What do they do on the blue line? Changes, yes or no? Want to get your thoughts when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. At the top of the hour, we'll welcome in Adam Oates, former National Hockey Leaguer, Hall of Famer, president of Oates Sports Group, and does an amazing job of breaking down hockey.
Yeah.
Stanley Cup playoff hockey. Is what we'll get into with Adam Oates. Defense, before the break, we touched on it. I think if we all gave Boston the edge on the blue lines, it would have been because of guys like Lindholm and Charlie McAvoy. I think that's the case here.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you get out of Saturday night from the collective blue line for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, you know, not the biggest problem. I thought not scoring and not getting saves were bigger problems, but not great. You know, we talked so much about we're going to get playoff Morgan. Like, you know, playoff Morgan makes such a difference. I didn't think he was very good. Didn't think he was very involved. And then, you know, the PK gets lit up. You're without TJ Brody, and that was a big decision, right? To scratch a guy who's been such a huge part of this team, and the penalty kill really struggled. You?
Yeah, I thought collectively subpar, which is just not even close to being good enough.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time in quite a while, I thought Simone Benoit struggled.
Yeah.
And I know where you guys know where I stood with TJ Brody being on the outside looking in. I would seriously contemplate bringing him back in.
Yeah.
My number one feeling after watching game one is that the physicality part of Simone Benoit's game, if it's gone, I won't miss it as much as I probably would have thought a month ago.
Yeah. Because you have other physical defense.
Because we have
on every pair.
But I need our guys to be smarter here.
Mm-hmm.
I need more intelligence out of the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. I need better sticks. I need better gap control. I need a better first pass out.
Felt like they could not break the puck out a lot.
That's so where I thought Morgan was bad gaps, way sagged off.
This at least gives TJ Brody a chance to come in and maybe reset himself.
Yeah.
Because he is an intelligent player. When TJ Brody's at his best, he's a smart guy.
You know, we've got a stats guy at Sportsnet. Jason Murdoch does a lot of stuff. They use TJ Brody a lot here in Toronto this season and on the way to the success. His time on ice for a game played for them this year, he was second. He played the most on the shorthanded, on the penalty kill of anyone else. You know, he's up there in shifts and blocks and plus minus. Like, he's been an important part of their decor. And, you know, when he's played a lot for them, they've typically won. They've had a very good record when he's been over 22 minutes. Like, there's a lot of data that says they're pretty good with him in.
Would you do it? Would you take Benoit out tonight for TJ Brody?
See, I don't know if it's Benoit. I liked Benoit's skating. Like, I think he's one of the guys that has the legs to move.
Then it's Lyubushkin then for you.
Lyubushkin struggled. He had a bad night. Liljegren is no consideration for you. He kind of had tough minutes and got put in their bench and was on the 2-on-1 there where he gets sauced over. He wasn't great.
I'm just in.
I can't remember any good moments yet.
Now I'm down to one right-handed shot D-man who plays.
Yeah. And that's fine
minutes.
If that's the decision you want to make and say, all right, I don't think you owe any loyalty to these guys that you brought in at the deadline to say, you're putting in the best guys, right?
We're long past that. We're just into who can help me win tonight. Right.
And so I would have TJ Brody in tonight. I think if it's me, it's probably Liljegren out, but I'm tough on Liljegren.
So. And according to Line Rushes, Brody is out for tonight. But we don't know what they're going to do.
They
could switch it up.
It could come back to, we made a decision. We're not bailing on it. Let's stick this out for the first two games against the Boston Bruins. That could be the other philosophy, is that we got ourselves behind the eight ball. We couldn't kill a penalty, but if we stay out of the box, we play 5-on-5, we let the guys get into a bit of a rhythm here, our lineup is fine.
Yeah.
That's the only way they don't make a change, right?
Yeah, you put a lot of effort into game one lineup, and there's logic behind the decisions you made. The logic doesn't necessarily change immediately.
I think, you know, if you're Keefe, though, I think there'll be a lot of question marks if you go down in this series and Brody doesn't play a lot of games. I'm sure people will put that on the bulletin board of reasons that you might not have employment after the series.
Well, I mean, they've lost to the Bruins 5 times this year. Hey. If you go down 2-0, you're probably not beating them 4 or 5 in a row.
You'd have to get through a lot of other reasons before you got to
before
that
Brody
one.
Didn't play.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying that would be on the ledger.
Yeah,
it would be there.
It would be there.
Yeah,
but
we'd be exhausted from the other conversations that we'd have. We wouldn't even spend 10 seconds on that one.
And the Brody thing. Yeah, yeah.
But I do think that there's a real sense of distrust with the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs amongst Leaf fans. I don't think.
But buddy, when the team loses and underachieves, that's just people are like, I can't see why they're losing. So
listen,
it's him.
I'm watching, like everybody else. Head to toe, all the games. Okay. Go find me a team that you think's really good that would give up 140-foot 2-on-1 3 minutes into the game. Okay. I can appreciate some guys making bad mistakes, but I go back to the coach on that one. I'm sorry. You just, as a coach, that is your responsibility that cannot happen. Play the right way to start the game.
Yeah, I'm on the other side there. It's the way they play. It's their system. I want them to be physical. I want Edmondson to have free reign to come down and throw that body. Yeah. You just got to trust that your guys can play the damn system. Don't play.
Yeah, and find yourself out again early in the playoffs.
Buddy, when it doesn't work and you lose, you can say whatever you want to say, of course. And that's what happens to 31 teams.
They're going to either sink or swim with it, right?
Go
down with the ship.
I would rather play the way you play than say suddenly we're a passive back off trap team because we have bad players and don't trust that he can play F3.
You didn't spend 82 games to develop that. You didn't play 82 games. And listen, I don't want to get into this, okay? Because if in fact they get out early, we're going to have plenty of time to revisit on
how it happened,
on where you wanted to pick apart reasons why they're out.
When your team loses, the coach is always to blame, and that's fair.
I'm just saying what I'm sensing.
I watch the teams that were successful, including the Vancouver Canucks, and we'll have Adam Oates at the top of the hour. We'll get more into the Vancouver Canuck game, but I saw a Canuck team that was like so disciplined, so structured, know exactly what their responsibilities are on a forecheck.
I thought they looked terrified.
Third guy high. Vancouver?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
I can't wait to talk about it. Next hour.
I thought they were set up to come back and win that game.
Speaking of the head coach, the Toronto Maple Leafs, if you were that man, both of you, who would start in net tonight for the Leafs?
I think this is a very important question, and I'm glad we're getting to it.
Yeah.
Joseph Woll.
Yeah, no. If you're not putting Brody in, you ain't putting Joseph Woll in.
You're right. By the very same logic of we made these decisions put a lot of time and thought into it, and one loss doesn't change things, fine.
You're going to go to Joseph Woll like you went to Joseph Woll last year. When your back is against the wall and you've got no other choice.
No, Sammy pulled himself last year. But
right?
He was hurt. But yes, so here's my logic. My logic is this. I do think if you're down 2-0 to the Boston Bruins, you're not cooked.
Yeah.
You're pretty close to cooked. And
I just don't like it because you didn't get Joseph Woll ready. You didn't get him ready.
That is a very good point. You did not give him a fair shake down the stretch.
No, you did not.
No.
It wasn't back and forth and we're still in this. You made it clear a long time ago with Sammy's net.
And where does that one fall on the Keith Ledger?
That's a definite negative.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just can't. I mean, the Boston Bruins lit up Woll in 2 games against them. He was awful down there when they went down there and played. You can't start him game 2 down there. Lose both guys. If you start Woll tonight and they lose, then you lose both guys.
You can't go back to Samsonov. Oh, you can't go back when you're down 3-0? No, you're cooked.
You lose both guys to me.
Yeah. You do lose both guys, but you've lost already.
Yeah.
So who cares? Samsonov's not playing for the Maple Leafs next year. if he's bad in a second game here.
Oh, then just throw Matt Murray in.
Oh. I just think you have the chance to you give Wohl the opportunity to be the young hero, the Jordan Bennington. I know Bennington took over games later, and to, you know, before it's too late. I think you run the risk if you let the series get away from you and you say, oh, now we'll try different things.
Swayman and Ullmark have had this 1A, 1B.
Oh.
There's no way they're going to not go to Swayman.
Would you like to hear Jim Montgomery?
Yes, we would.
He is he's a real funny guy. You guys want to hear the clip?
Oh, boy.
There's this one clip there, Derek, from Montgomery.
It's funny you ask. You know, like, I don't like keeping you guys in the dark. Do any of you play Wordle? Yes. You do? Okay, the starting goalie tonight has two vowels in his first and last name.
Give me a break.
What a smart, is he trying to pull a Paul Maurice or John Cooper on us?
Oh. Oh.
Now you really want him to lose.
Both of their goalies.
Yeah.
Two vowels in their first and last name. If that's the joke.
If you don't go to Jeremy Swayman after that game, I mean, that's insanity.
Please start Linus on
right.
I don't care what you did in the regular season.
Yeah.
I don't care.
He owns the Leafs.
You get a guy like that in the playoffs,
yes,
you're going back-to-back.
And Ullmark has had playoff struggles in the past. Last year with Boston, his numbers weren't great. Like, Swayman was awesome.
All right. Let's leave it to Ryan Reeves.
Oh.
Okay? Yesterday, he summed it up beautifully for me. Derek, do we have that clip of Ryan Reeves?
The Hakuna Matata kind of motto. You got to, you can't be worried about what happened in the past. You just got to look forward, and I think that's what this group's going to do.
That's what the Leafs need. They need a problem-free philosophy.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
My daughter would be very pleased with the show today.
There you go.
There you go.
Like, can we not do, I love you, Reeves, but can we not do Hakuna Matata?
Yeah, it's our motto. Better rip there.
No,
what are you doing?
It's, oh, no.
I'm
the producer of the show. No more of that, please.
It means no worries for the rest of your days.
Dad just died. Had to leave his family, and they're telling him to chill out. Don't worry.
There you go.
No biggie.
No biggie. Okay.
Oh.
It's a new day today. Matata.
I'm going to be coming here looking like Scar tomorrow if they lose. So.
Oh, God.
Kill Mufasa.
One wine, and we get Sammy back.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll be putting on that jacket if they win tonight.
I will reiterate something I said in the first hour, that I do believe that if they don't have to change a whole lot. And it's going to be, you know, they can still win a hockey game. I don't think they were that far off. I know you do. I'm not asking for your opinion and giving you mine.
They got to be smarter. Me, it's intelligence right now. It's not, we need to push harder. We need to fight back. We need to punch them in the head.
Yeah.
Just got to be smart. Yeah. Close gaps, better sticks, safe plays.
Be the play Leafs. Don't try to be the Bruins.
Play the percentages.
Yeah.
One guy should be jumping up, Morgan Riley. That's it. Rest of them,
I'm fine with.
Try
that.
To win a game 2-1. It's okay.
No,
Carolina can do it.
That's the opposite of the advice. They need to score goals.
They cannot win a game 2-1.
They cannot win a game 2-1. No. They have a bad goalie and no defense.
But they're fine tonight.
They're fine.
2-1. I hope they win 2-1. I could shove it right down your throats tomorrow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd be happy to have that
possible,
result, too, to be honest.
The National Hockey League. All right, we're just warming up here on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. As we said, Stanley Cup playoffs. Three more games besides Toronto and Boston. The Islanders, Carolina, Vegas with Mark Stone back. Versus the Dallas Stars and then the LA Kings in our doubleheader tonight on Hockey Night in Canada Sportsnet. They'll be in Edmonton. Adam Oates, Hall of Famer, will break all of it down for us when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hakuna Matata.